Good evening. The show begins tonight in Yemen. The Houthis incoming from the U.S. fleet, and what is to be done? Driving the war is Iran, not the Houthis. The Houthis are not even surrogates, employees. They receive the Iranian missiles, solid fuel, cruise, and ballistic missiles. The other missiles go into the hands of Hamas and Hezbollah. In Syria, the Idlib province, where the Al-Qaeda and ISIS remnant are hiding next to the Turkish border, they received a solid fuel missile from Iran, making sure everybody understands they have the range to strike Israel. Iraq, near Erbil, a solid fuel rocket from Iran, making it clear to the U.S. and the Israelis that there's no place to hide from Iranian missiles, and they don't care that you know they fired it. In Pakistan, an Iranian solid fuel missile, I believe, but it might have been drones and a solid fuel missile, into a Balochistan encampment, village, the poorest of the poor, the Baloch. What we're looking at is an Iranian factory floor producing all of these missiles indefinitely. Asking the question, is this war with the Houthis or is this war with Iran? There's no clear answer. Also speak to Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy about the tunnels of Gaza. I learned something surprising. The tunnels of Gaza connect to what is suspect to be tunnels from the Sinai. The Egyptians have not given permission to the IDF to go into the Sinai to look at that side of suspect tunnels. Have the Egyptians been cooperating with Hamas these many years for the smuggling? Jonathan tells me once upon a time the Egyptians promised to close that end down. It clearly didn't happen. More to discover. Much more. Khan Yunis is now the battlefield. Very complex tunnels, but they extend to Rafah, the old village at the south side of Gaza. I've been there several times. It's very ordinary. Beachfront property with guns. And then to the question of Ukraine. Jeff McCausin joins. Ukraine's out of ammo. Ukraine's out of air defenses. And there's none forthcoming. Not from the U.S. And maybe not from NATO. NATO's voted money, but the money is in part to replenish its arsenal that was used to arm Ukraine in the early days of the war. Ukraine's in a defensive mode right now, but I'm told they have to choose what cities they're going to defend. Also, again, Jeff and I asked the question, is this a war? Congress is asking. Four senators, two from the Republicans, two from the Democrats, liberals and conservatives. Is this a war? What is the intention of the Biden administration? This is offensive. This is not defensive. Ask Congress's permission is the suggestion. And then to Taiwan with Steve Yates after the election. I learned that business community, the investor class in Taiwan, critical to the success of the PRC in the early years of this century, big manufacturing centers that are based out of Taipei, they're now considering moving some of the factory floor to India or to Vietnam, Bangladesh, some of it. China doesn't have enough margins to lose any of it, and it's happening right now. And what is the 1,000 talents plan? China spies, China steals. What is surprising is that the U.S. knows it and doesn't reach to interfere. Odd behavior. Strange, as if the U.S. policy has not cut up to the opinion of the U.S. population, that China is a hostile power and a threat. And we discuss Canada, and does Canada see the decline and fall of Maoism? Yes, Charles Burton says it sees it, no longer entertaining the idea of working with China. Also, Rick Fisher joins to talk about what the Chinese nuclear arsenal will look like in 2035. Everything about China is aiming towards supremacy. However, we shall see. And then on to the question of the primary contest. There's a result from New Hampshire. Donald Trump, as expected, well ahead. Nikki Haley still in the chase. What's interesting to me in my conversation with Victor Davis Hanson is how the punditocracy in Washington and New York assume that a Trump presidency means a dictator, not unlike the cartoon of Big Brother in George Orwell's 1984. It's odd. There's no evidence that, well, in any event, we'll pursue this. I emphasize that Big Brother, that 1984, that the whole storyline developed by George Orwell following the Second War is a fairy tale. Once upon a time, scares people if they are let it. It's not a serious work of fiction. It's a cartoon. That's why it does so well when it's turned into a movie or a theater piece. Everybody knows their parts. They're called cliches. In any event, then there's the question again about the Houthis I discussed with Victor Hanson. What is to be done? Iran is the source, not the Houthis. Houthis aren't manufacturing missiles. Neither is Hezbollah. Neither was Hamas until they got the parts. It's Iran. So, puzzle. Go to the source and you will stop the harassing and threat for the whole of the Middle East. Puzzle. I understand it's an election year. It was an election year in 1942. It was an election year in 1940. It was an election year in 1938. All right. Bob Zimmerman. Ingenuity. Momentarily there was worries because it wasn't functioning perfectly. Ingenuity is way past its sell-by date. It's doing very well, a little toaster on Mars. And now Bob declares it healthy. We shall see. They yet to recover it. You can't quite see it. They need line of sight from Perseverance. Perseverance is not tall. So when Bob reports next, we'll see where Ingenuity is. And then finally, Evan Ellis talks about the troubles in the Americas. Ecuador is in trouble. Brazil is going back to a command economy, which doesn't work, but it's what Lula da Silva feels comfortable with. His youth, his first two terms as president. He is a retread, and he is remembering the sentimental days when he was on top in the early years of the 21st century. Also a conversation about China switching its emphasis in the Americas, no longer Belt and Road, overwhelming local officials, pouring money into infrastructure, badly built dams that crack, roads that crack. Chinese construction company insists upon building these projects. They're bad engineers. They're bad execution. They use inferior materials, and they don't care. They move on. Well, anyway, they've switched their investor class, they say, is said, this is a report in the Financial Times, to resources. They need lithium. They need everything. China chases the shiny, shiny object. It thinks green is the future, so it wants to corner the market. Strange thinking. But there it is. And then the Bukele model of getting elected. Arrest everybody under 30, accuse them of being suspect, drug gang, keep them in jail. Tens of thousands. I've seen numbers as high as 70,000. And you'll become popular because the crime rate drops since there's nobody on the street. And you're arresting everybody under 30. That model is now being followed by Costa Rica, I read, and talk about it with Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.